Yeah, Alan Windy, good morning. We have you back. We're going to have a seat named after you over the next 21 days.
How can I? Don't cut me off, though.
I won't. I won't. You're not that abusive to me all the time, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Right, so Premier, since the last time we spoke, one of the key issues that I'd like to find out more about after your update that you're going to give us, because I did ask if there's more information around the two people who very sadly, both of them women passing away in the Western Cape today, is the issue of ventilators, because this is absolutely essential. But we'll get there. What is the latest? You said you're going into a meeting at 10 o'clock. You're going to get some clarification.
Well, you might be able to hear it on my laptop going ahead in the distance. I've got one ear just kind of half listening to it. I've muted and cut the video so they can't see me sort of moving down the line here talking to you. So sadly, the first two deaths in this province, I still remember saying to our team about 2 weeks ago, are we prepared? What happens when we have to announce that there are deaths? And here it is. And it's such a short period of time. It was only on the 11th of March that we got our first case.
Yeah.
And the other side of the two deaths, and obviously huge sympathy to the families, friends, is that 28-year-old and 48-year-old female. Everybody says females are more resilient, it's going to hit the males harder, and everybody says it's going to hit the elderly. Well, this is just shown in our first two deaths. It's exactly the opposite, which actually says to me, people, this lockdown is more important than you actually think, if we are to beat this. And your question about the ventilators, we've got enough ventilators.
Hold on, what's enough? How much is enough?
But we will not have enough ventilators in June if we do not stem the tide. Then we will be like New York or Italy.
Yeah.
So that is what we're working on. And it's not only ventilators. It's ventilator operators. You've seen in other parts of the world, they've got more ventilators than they know what to do with. But if you don't know how to operate the ventilator, you'll kill the patient.
Exactly.
So it's about ventilator operators, which key staff can we move across from whatever they are doing into operating ventilators. So, for example, in the reports I get, and I'm not the doctor here, but from the medical department, that, for example, an anaesthetist is the perfect person to operate a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not using anaesthetists because you've stopped our elective surgeries, there's your next line of people who are going to operate ventilators. That's why in our plan, we're also going to start changing ordinary rooms into ICU rooms.
Yeah.
That's where the ventilators are going to be. So right now, I'm just saying that we've got enough ventilators, we've got enough beds, but it depends on how fast this thing grows. And if we don't manage it now, then I promise you, in a month's time, we are going to be in a very, very difficult space. So please, we've got to stay home. We've got to follow the rules. And I'm really, really concerned. I'm getting so many reports today of people out in the street as if it's just a normal day. And this scares me, because then we're not going to have enough ventilators.
Well, just to give you an idea, I came in and saw nothing this morning, by the way. I was hoping to be stopped at least twice before getting in, and I was going off the R27, and this is the same for each and every one of my colleagues who come from different parts of town. Bruce Hong has sent me a message, though. He says he was behind a traffic officer on the elevated freeway. And the lady who works with Bruce them says that the army is in Joslovo and Milnerton, so everyone there is staying in. But Vangate Mall, apparently, it's almost like it's Christmas today. Car park full, Premier. Car park full. One would have expected. And even at seven, just after seven this morning, half past seven, quarter to eight, and just before 8 o'clock even, looked over at Gallows Hill, at least 10, 12 traffic or cars still standing there. Now, I would imagine that those cars are bought and they need to have operators in them. It was just a bit scary to see that. Well, the perception is that there's not much activity going on out there from a policing perspective.
Okay, so apparently there are roadblocks at all of the entries and exits, and there are 15 roadblocks were operational through the night in the city. But I've got to get clarification, and it's the questions I've put into this feedback now. is that there are so many people on the street. We've got to get tougher, and we've got to use all of our resources.
Yeah.
And a big question has been coming in over the last few days is on neighborhood watches, because they are excluded. And I'm pretty certain that we're going to see some regulatory change over the next short while, as people understand that this is a massive task, and that citizens are not all just adhering to the rules. And it's quite scary, because then that starts to really put pressure on our models as to whether we do have enough ventilators.
I know I pushed you for numbers on ventilators at the moment. I mean, it's obviously relative to how many cases you have, whether you have enough or not.
Right.
But Dr. Anban Pillay, DG of Health Nationally, said to me 2,700 ventilators as far countrywide.
So that must be what they have now.
Yeah. But they will have, okay, obviously, with the plan to bring more in, I would imagine, but hopefully...
No, we need many more than that. Interesting. I had a very interesting discussion last...
Okay, yeah.
And it was an hour long. We all sort of zoomed in. And one of the private healthcare CEOs was also on. And it was interesting. We started a discussion on their modeling and our modeling, and we maybe got the month wrong. We said we're going to hit a peak in July.
You broke up there when you said your modeling was slightly off, because you said you'd get a peak in July, and then we lost you after that.
Yeah. Okay. So we were thinking our peak's going to be in June, and he was saying more April, May. But it's interesting, both of our modeling, the numbers are fairly similar. And, these are what we're trying to... So you're asking me for a number, but it's difficult to give you
Don't
numbers
understand.
Because it all depends on the tracking.
Mm.
But we've made modeling, and we've actually said this modeling is going to give us X result over time.
Mm.
And obviously that's why we have a lockdown, because we don't want to actually get to 250,000 cases, new cases in 1 week in June or July.
Exactly.
We want to be below the line. We want to have manageable systems that our healthcare can take care of the need. But even then, our preparedness is to put field hospitals in, just beds with oxygen is the sort of the space that you need before you need the ventilator. Do we have a couple of thousand beds just with oxygen? And so these are the questions, and the procurement that's happening right now, and planes flying in with product.
Yep.
And trucks delivering.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about 250,000 in 1 week, 20% of that, my maths is right, and my maths is dodgy, but it's around 50,000 people that would need to be in hospital, in ICU, if we had to take what's happening internationally as a measure. So,
And I will tell you right now that we don't have sufficient ventilators for.
No, indeed.
So, people, stay home.
Premier Alan Windey. Appreciate you always being available. Thank you very much. The Premier of the Western Cape, Alan Windey. If you don't stay in and we get to 250,000 people, let me tell you what's going to happen. People are going to die. And not just COVID-19 patients. Other people who need ICU and emergency care. And if walking around, if you decide that you want to go for a bit of a walk today and you're going to make an excuse, think about that number. And ask yourself if that is something you can live with. I can't. I definitely can't.